All right, welcome to the pre-show. It's Wednesday, the 14th of September. I don't know what fuck. What is it? The 22nd. And so things are moving along swimmingly. We're setting up a whole marketing thing tomorrow. We have our website is, for instance, I just talked to Shane about, what were we talking about? Oh, caricatures. We're really getting down the characters that are going to be on the site. I got to get the show logs loaded in. Allie did such a great job for me there in that department getting, and a lot of you guys have, that I need to make sure all, wherever there is not a show log, we got to plug that motherfucker in. So I want to get that ready for the site. Let's see what else. I know you guys are asking, well, when, Phil? I don't know. I mean, Dawn's having a meeting tomorrow with Shane, and we'll find out. You know, look, we've already paid for like half of it. Have we paid for half of it? How much are we paying? Yeah, we're close. Pretty goddamn close. 10, 14, 13. Almost 30 grand. But you pay it in stages, you know, kind of like the way you pay or should pay for a construction. Like I keep referring to construction contractors because it's kind of the same thing. They're building something out, you know. And it's funny, man, because I've dealt, like I said, we've dealt with 1, 2, 3 redesigns. And you learn a little bit more, you learn a little bit more. I'm a complete and absolute fucking novice when it comes to this stuff. But I just know the right questions asked now because I've been through it so much. And I also know what our site needs. And in terms of marketing, I want to let you guys know this. And this is something we'll tell to the larger audience. We are going to be doing an awful lot of pre-ordering of things. In other words, for me to appear someplace, we're gonna send you guys tickets. It won't cost any money, but it gives you a ticket to the event. So we can sort of know how many people we have coming and so that we don't get too, because I don't want to charge, I want them to be free. So in other words, if we're charging money, I think that's not fair to my listeners. I'm not down with that. You know, you do a personal appearance, you got to charge fucking money. But we do want to know how many people we're going to have to know the size of the venue. Are we doing a little bar? And I said, you know, I'd like to do these at bars or at little clubs. But maybe we need something bigger. I don't know. So, but see, I want to do a series of small ones. And like that, you know, I'm sure you understand. What else? Had our last audition class on Monday night, so just and yesterday Tuesday, so it's all good. No more of those.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about it. Shit, I mean, I'll finish anything I just like.
Praise God, I see. Now I'll let you in on a little something, because I know I can talk to you guys. You're my people. What is this? The fuck is that, man? What the fuck? Oh, wait a minute, man. What the fuck is this?
Where you've heard about
Hold on. Sight to the blind. My baby loving cause the sun to shine. What the fuck is that? That's the wrong fucking file, motherfucker. That's not the file that I... Oh. Don't fucking tell me. Hold on for a minute. Oh, fuck. I don't believe this shit. Did I pull a wrong fucking file out? Come on, motherfucker. I sent Robert the wrong file. I am just like... Okay, that's the one that I sent, you fucking bitch. This is the one, motherfucker. No wonder it... God damn it. I had to send my attorney a file. And I'll explain it to you here in a second. God damn it. Robert, I sent you the wrong file. Shit! Come on, man. File. The right file. I sent him the wrong fucking file, man. God, I hate fucking emailing on a goddamn phone, and yet I use it, like, almost exclusively. Okay, good. Two things you must know before you buy airline tickets. Is that right? I get a lot of Daily Kos stuff, and I think it's because I responded to something once, and you know, it's all right, but let me do this, and then I'll tell you what I'm doing here. Fuck. What a load and a half, Henry. You are one dumb motherfucker. Do you know that? Is this it? 21.8. This is it. I think it's the right file. I mean, I don't know. What happened was this. I have a video that has been contested by the copyright owner of a song that we use. In other words, it's a song I used in a bit. It's a song that I used in a bit. And it was the Soul of the White Man bit. And it's a kind of a Northern European folky song. I'll show you the bit in a minute. And I believe that the copyright holder, which I think is Warner Music Group, challenged the video, saying that we violated their, or that we're infringing their copyright. And I'm certainly happy to take it down, but I sent a note. I sent it and a note to my attorney, which I want to do again, saying this is satire. This is not playing of an entire song for people to sit and listen to the song. I talk over top of it throughout, and we use it in a bit to satirize it and to satirize certain kinds of music. I mean, I don't know, man. It's a big file. I don't have no idea. My attorney is a copyright lawyer, so you figure that they would have, you know, you'd figure that they would have all kinds of Dropbox shit, you know, whatever. Okay, so here is the video in question. And you guys will probably remember it.
See, here's the thing. She's talking about the white people and the and their music, which is this what is it called?
But it was El Chicano.
It's not El Chicano. El Vati. Okay?
Yes, it's called El Vati.
All right. And then you're going to do some tiptoe dancing.
It's not tiptoe dancing, and here's where I get into a problem, especially on your program, Mr. Henry, more so than any other show. I get into a problem where you immediately want to laugh at me.
Well, Dean, can you blame them? You're prancing from one. There are large, if you see this on stage, Phil, there are large toadstools that Dean leaps from one to the other.
Uh-huh. And what's wrong with that? You know, before we went on the air, you were all in favor of what I'm doing.
What a what?
I think it's a little turncoatish of you.
Well, Dean, I'm not saying it's I'm not saying it's not a good demonstration.
Let me take this over here, okay?
But, Phil...
No, let me take this over, because I think Dean is being unfairly treated here.
Yeah, you know something? That is absolutely right. He's got something to say, and you're characterizing it already as some tiptoe dance, some freak going from a mushroom to a...
God, it does sound like a tiptoe. Yeah, well, that was my point, Phil.
All right, let me ask the questions.
I'm being very insulted.
Margaret, let me ask the question. Dean, you're doing some folk dancing. Do you characterize the folk dancing that you do and this song, Call of the Mountain? Is all of this stuff characterized in your mind as white people music?
All right, well, thank you, Phil, for asking me.
I've got some opinions on that.
Yeah, but he's asking me now, Margaret.
But
he's asking me now, and I appreciate you doing that, Phil. First of all, when you talk about a group like El Vati, and Bud, if you could, thank you. Here it is. This is a group that is folk metal, and it represents music that comes from the fresh, windswept hills of the Swiss Alps. There isn't anything, there's nothing whiter than that. I'm not saying that black people can't enjoy this music. I enjoy listening to the good, strong, spirited drumming of Central Africa and all of the musics that have since been born of that.
Well, there's a lot of music in America influenced and created by African Americans. We also have our European folk dance music.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about here is this is not American music. This is the music here, right here.
Yes, this, see, Phil, this is a white woman.
Yeah, you hear the white woman?
Hold on for a minute. Yeah. Turn that down, Bud.
Yeah, Bud, turn it down. All right, now here.
The call of the...
Hold on, Margaret.
Yeah, oh, God, that's...
Well, I'm trying to get us on track, if you don't mind.
We're on track, Margaret. Phil is talking to me.
Hold on, Margaret.
Right here. No! My God.
Margaret, will you allow us to just listen?
Yeah, hold on. So, Dean?
Right here. So what I do is I'm on stage. I'm going from one mushroom to the next. Now, these are large mushrooms.
Are they real mushrooms?
Are they real mushrooms?
Dickman, they're how big are they?
They're about the size of a sofa. No, they're not real.
All right, we've seen you're leaping from one to the other.
Bud's just asking. So these are, scenery.
Yeah, it's on the stage. I'm leaping. I wear what are called elf kickers. You can call them what you want, but they're turned up. They're suede. They're very stylish. They look good with jeans, but I happen to wear them on stage as well with tights and a Robin Hood hat. Now, this is to affect the freedom of the white, as he has been, you know, whites have been driven, we've been insulted, people tell us that we suck, whatever. And now when we hear our proud heritage, right here, see, the call of the, go ahead, Margaret. And as Margaret sings, I will leap from toadstool to toadstool with the elf kickers and the...
You got a Robin Hood hat on, huh?
Yeah, I do, and I can really hear the sarcasm.
Well, no, I'm not being sarcastic. You call this white people music.
It's real, organic Northern European music and that hasn't been filtered through the American experience, as has many Irish folk jigs and...
Well, he technically said jig, Mr. Henry.
As in a dance, okay?
All right.
That's not racist.
I don't know. Yeah, no, a jig is a dance. Also clogging. But that has been filtered through the American experience, which is multiracial. This music, see right here? You can hear the mountain. I'll take it from here, Margaret. I'll do it. Now I'm going. I'm leaping from one toadstool to the other. I have on... did you get the picture of the elf kicker?
No, I did not.
I faxed over.
Yeah, the elf kicker is this, Mr. Henry.
All right, it's a shoe that with a turned-up toe.
Yeah, it's like a desert boot, only it has a pointed toe that's turned up. Now you can wear them with bells or not.
This is the part where I think this whole thing goes to hell in a handcart, and I mean rapidly, and with the rubber smoke.
What? Say that again.
What I'm telling you is that is this thing done?
Well, then there's this.
Yes. Phil, do you see what I'm doing?
Yeah, you're singing.
Yeah, I know I'm singing, but I'm also encouraging the young whites, these young white people, to, yes, carry on the tradition of...
Make an elf kicker.
Yes, the elf kicker, although you...
All right, so that's the... Where are we at? Oh, wait, sorry. That's, by the way, where the fuck is the fuck? Bitch... That is the, by the way, what am I doing here? I gotta get, yeah, Roger will going out. Okay. I got all kinds of, I took all of the limiting off of that. All right. So that's the bit. And you can see, I mean, we're clearly using it for satirical purposes, which I thought, and I'm pretty sure I'm right, is a legitimate use of a song. It's not a violation of the copyright when you are taking that song and using it as parody. Could be wrong. I could be very fucking wrong. I could be very. And if that's the case, that's cool. I mean, we've taken it off of the. We've taken it private, so it's not public anymore. I just played it there for you guys because y'all, you my people, you know. Now let me. Y'all, you ain't my kind of people at all, man. I don't understand this fucking music at all. That's Buddy Rich in the... it's really interesting. Oh, now, who's this guy? Wait a minute. They're doing a whole thing on angel pitchers of the past. I know you guys are probably not angel fans. I'm not asking you to be angel fans, but who is this fucking guy? Who the fuck? Is this Andy Messersmith? I think it is. I think it's Andy Messersmith. This motherfucker could pitch. Well, maybe it ain't. Then he pitched for the Dodgers briefly, but Dick Enberg. see, I remember the Angels. I don't know who the fuck this guy is. I think it's Messersmith. Saberhagen pitched for the Angels? Wow. Anyway, big fucking deal. I remember when the Angels had, the guys... Look on this guy's face. Yeah. Messersmith was the guy that went free agent, as a matter of fact, and He was the first big free agent contract, I think. You know, Kurt Flood tried all those years. There's Nolan Ryan, I think. Messerschmitt, that's a hell of a goddamn duo right there, man. Kurt Flood tried for all of those years, one of the St. Louis Cardinals, to break the reserve clause, which is, you young people, you'd have no fucking idea what was going on in baseball in the 60s and in all of sports. You could hold on to a player, and then you had a reserve clause. You could option that guy's contract for more years. Once his contract was over, the reserve clause allowed you to automatically option him for another several years. He had no negotiating power. The only thing he could do would be to sit out or go play someplace else. Where? Where do you go play? Japan? That's about what they did. It was, today we look at that and we go, how the fuck could anybody possibly, back then the attitude was, they ought to be thankful they're playing a sport for a living. Why do they give a shit? People didn't get it. Kurt Flood was never successful. Andy Messerschmitt was the first one who was successful. He benefited finally from a court ruling that said, you are a free agent, your contract is up, you're now a free agent, you can negotiate for anything you want. And, you know, the argument can be made that ruined baseball, you know, ruined sports, because now players were not loyal to teams. They could go anywhere they wanted to. They could command any price the teams would pay, and the fans wind up, you know, being punished. We got to pay the ticket price. But, I mean, what the fuck is life about? If you're working, there's one of us that isn't going to say, I want to get paid what I'm worth. So I understood. You know, personally, I mean, I never had a problem with it. I mean, I thought it was kind of fucked up that we had to pay more, but you couldn't really get logically around it. But just look at this, Frank Tanana. God, look at these. There's Frank Tanana. He was an Angel pitcher too. Is that Tanana or is that, what's his ass? Fuck, I don't know who the fuck that is. That's Tanana, Frank Tanana. What did I say? It was Andy Messerschmitt, Frank Tanana. Sorry. But anyway, what I said about Messerschmitt is true. The other thing is that the Angels had, in the 60s, they had a guy named Dean Chance, who was a goddamn good pitcher, won a Cy Young Award. No, I mean, the Angels sucked in the 60s for the most part. Tanana and Ryan combined for 207 wins and 171 losses for a 55% winning percentage. All the other Angel starters were at 420. Dean Chance was a great pitcher. Then they got another guy who was kind of a playboy. Bo Bilinski was this guy's name. Bo Bilinski was brought up from the Hawaii PCL team, Angels farm team in Hawaii. The PCL team at that time was the Hawaii club, the Hawaii Islanders. And Bo Bilinski came up from the Islanders and played for the Angels for a few years. And was known in L.A. He was, you know, not a bad pitcher. Wasn't a bad pitcher. He's known in L.A. primarily as a cat that just got around to all the nightclubs and shit, you know, and had like 900 girlfriends, all that bullshit. And then Dean Chance was another one of the early Angel pitchers, Clyde Wright. All right. That's all. I won't bother you with anything else. I won't bother you with anything else. One thing about that program, it's a video program that I have that... just keeps recycling the thang. You dig me? I can't be done with that, man. Let's see what we got going on, man. Big doings, man. I guess in Trump land, huh? Or whatever the fuck, the world of politics. This Milo Yiannopoulos, dude. He is fired by Breitbart. He lost his book deal. Here's what happened. He was caught. He was on a live streaming video. I think it was Joe Rogan. Earlier in 2016. And he's a very brash guy. And I haven't heard this cat's stuff. So I can't comment other than to say, you know, what I saw him say is extremely brash. He's gay. He apparently expresses an awful lot of opinions about, as an alt-right conservative, that really rub people the wrong way, some people the wrong way. But what was primarily the thing that I saw was he was talking about with Rogan, in the clip that I saw, He said, I was very aggressive as a 14-year-old. I was the predator when I was a 14-year-old, is the way he put it. Because apparently he was molested by two men in his teens. Okay. And there was other commentary, according to the news reports that I read, having to do with the appropriateness or the wisdom of men and boys having sex. You know, not commenting on the sexual orientation of people involved. We're talking about the ages of the people involved. A man and an underage and a minor, which is illegal. It's against the law. He was expressing opinions, he says, that were, what the fuck is it? He was free associating. Anyway, he said he was free associating and that that there was nuance and there was context. Look, I made a little tweet today, like I do, and I said the following thing, because I have to live with this. Anybody who's in media has to live with this, and that is that perception is reality. It may not be fair. It may be the most fucked up thing in the world, but perception has a way of taking on a life of its own and becoming reality. And the next thing you know, you have a million people saying, this is what it looks like. This, and when you can stand there and say, no, I meant it this way and I meant it that way. And sometimes you can convince people and say, bullshit, you're wrong, especially if you've got moral high ground to stand on. Especially if you have the moral high ground to stand on. In other words, you're saying, you know, I was expressing a contempt for fascism, you know. Well, it looks like you were making fun of the American flag. No, I fucking wasn't. I was talking about it. Well, it still looks like you're making fun of the American. And if the perception is that I was shitting all over the American flag, and when in point of fact I was making a commentary about fascism, and then I live with the notion that I was shitting over the American flag, but it's not anything that I would feel terrible about. I would still be sort of leaning into people and saying, you got it fucking wrong. And I dare say that over time I'd win that argument. But when you're dealing with other topics and you're not clear or the perception is wrong, and these topics are not topics that you're necessarily on moral high ground with, and they're topics that involve opinions that can get your ass fired. Just about any opinion can get your ass fired. I don't know. I could say, you know, the American flag, this, not that I've ever done a bit about, you know, shitting on the American flag, but let's just say, I could say the American flag is this or that or represents fascism or something, and I may get fired for that. Especially if I worked for like a conservative radio station, which, you know, are there any other kind these days? How can you go on the air with a fucking conservative station and think you're doing anything really great and original? You know, I don't understand it. All right, fuck that.
Fuck that noise, man.
So I got to stand on that shit, man. And if it's not a very defensible position, or let's say it is a defensible position, but no one wants to hear it because the noise that's drowning you out has to do with the larger issue of pedophilia. And your nuance, and in the case of Milo Yiannopoulos, I believe it was, he was talking about himself as a victim. He said, well, I was a very aggressive 14-year-old. And in that sense, even though he was aggressive, he was a victim. And trying to make a larger point about being the victim of molestation, what got lost, what he says it was edited in such a way. Well, the original does exist. You can watch it, and it doesn't do much to help his case. Especially if there's people out to fucking hammer you, man. You know what I mean? Especially if there's people out to... Oh, what did I do? I fucked that up. God damn it. I just fucked something up here. What did I do? Oh, you know what, you dummy, Hendry? What you did? That was camera three, you stupid asshole. No fucking reset. Yeah, okay, good. You're such a dumbass, Hendry. This is the one that I want to do this to.
Hi.
All right. So his ass is I don't know. So it got drowned out with all the noise around that. See, and that's what's going to happen. You know, if you're not, you know, if you're not on good solid ground, man, especially if you're a cat like this guy Milo, who people, a lot of people don't like, then what's going to happen is they go, aha! Now, if he says shit that people claim he says, which I've not heard this guy, so I can't say. But if he has the attitude, a lot of people say he's a racist and all this show. I would have no use for a guy like that. But I got to hear him for myself. And the stuff I heard him say on Rogan's show, it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny. And it was kind of creepy, and it kind of bugged me, and it just, I don't know, you know, so, but I ain't saying that it necessarily that I understood it either, you know, because I kind of dropped in the middle of it. But I do know that the point that I'm making to you right now is absolutely true, whether I fucking heard it or not. And that point is, if people perceive it a certain way, if it just is out there, man, perceived a certain way, you can't put that fucking genie back in the bottle. You can yell and scream about it. I've done it. No, it wasn't about, I remember, I'll give you an example. When Brian Cox sued me, he sued me because I had called him a homosexual on the air. And the point I was making was that he had said, suck my dick, to one of the Dolphin announcers when after a game. And it went live out over the air. He published the comment, as we call it in this business, he published the comment, suck my dick. So I said, well, Brian came out, he's gay, he's a homosexual. The word got out that one of Brian Cox's kids at school was taunted because of what I said. And I was fucked. I was fucked from that point forward. In terms of the public's perception of this lawsuit thing. Now, I didn't get hammered as bad as Milo or any of these other guys, because Brian Cox was sort of a inflammatory character to begin with. He did say, suck my dick. So there were mitigating circumstances in there that kept me from getting just buried. But boy, I tell you what, you bring a child into the middle of something, you say a child's been hurt by what you did, and you're a real fucking asshole. And I'll tell you, every sports writer in town was against me. And they did not even give me the dignity of saying, you know, Phil Henry. They just say some fucking talk show host, you know. So that's where that went. But I didn't lose my job over it. It was, as I said, it was, we were able to get out, you know, I was able to get out my side. I was very sorry about his daughter. Absolutely, you know, totally. But WIOD in those days was a really freewheeling radio station. Miami was a really freewheeling town. And I mean, we let it all fucking hang out on that station. We were the Dolphin flagship station. So I think people appreciated the fact that there was a real honest approach. We didn't suck the ass of the team that we were carrying. One of the things you will notice, and with good reason, if truth be told, that if a station carries a team, you're not going to hear them badmouthing that team. Why? They're paying money for the rights to have that team on their airwaves. So you don't really get sports reporting about that team on that station, because they're just not going to say anything negative. And if they do say something negative, it'll be very objective, and it has to be a really glaring thing that the team itself did, right? What am I doing here, man? I got to get killed. Come on, Phil. Okay, and then the WIOD had the Dolphins. And we said anything we fucking wanted to. We bagged on Don Shula. We bagged on the fucking team. How much they sucked. And they did suck. That particular season was the 95 season. And they sucked. So people ripped us. Why aren't you supporting the Dolphins? Are we supposed to suck the Dolphins' ass? Or should we tell the truth? What do fans talk about? That's what we were. We represented the fan. Fans are in bars all over Miami today talking about how much the Dolphins suck. So we're talking about it on the air. Well, you should be, you know, bullshit. And Jim Mandich, God rest his soul, nice, great guy, great fucking guy. Love Jim Mandich. But Jim came on the air that Monday. He says, this station stands for nothing. And I remember thinking, what's he mean by that, man? I think we're standing for something here. We're standing for the fan against a team first of all, can't take any criticism, and has really been riding on the past glory long enough. Don Shula was getting on. I'm not saying he was a bad coach, but Dan Marino now had been, what, 12, 13 years in the saddle. This fucking guy, no Super Bowls, no Super Bowl wins. You know, so anyway, I'm not going to go and do a big long fucking thing. Let's get into this goddamn show. What you say? Okay, ready? All right. Let's do it, man. You know, I feel like I want to do it.
This ain't ever posted. And I'm in my happy place posted.
Wait a minute, dude. Fuck off. Get out of here.
Your friend and